Today's scripture is Psalms 20. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
The other day I was at Lowe's, and I was picking up a few things for the yard. Now, naturally, I was at Lowe's, and I was practicing social distancing, in case you were wondering, so fear not. And while I was making my way to the checkout, I noticed an elderly lady, and she was kind of walking towards me. And as I noticed her, as I looked at her, she reminded me of my mother. And so as she got closer to me, I smiled at her and I said hello. However, she just looked at me and continued walking without saying a word. And for a moment there, I was stunned. But then I realized something, beloved. I realized that we both were wearing masks. She could not see my face, nor could I see hers. She could not see that I was smiling, and suddenly it occurred to me that wearing these masks have caused our smiles to disappear. With masks on, we smile less. And this is significant, beloved. This is really significant because smiles are important. There was a study a few years ago by the University of Missouri at Kansas City that revealed several important benefits to smiling. That one, smiling makes you look younger. The research showed that people who smiled were consistently thought to be younger than they really were. Smiling elevates your mood. As we all know, happy is as happy does. Smiling gives you an appearance of confidence and likability and competence. People are more likely to approach you. People are more likely to believe that you're competent in what you're saying and what you're doing. Sad people generally are not successful people. Smiling increases your lifespan. It's what the research found. That suddenly the fountain of youth was right under your nose all the time. Who knew? Who knew? Smiling is contagious. As someone has said, smile and the world smiles with you. Frown and you frown alone. There are many benefits to smiling, beloved. COVID-19 has taken many things from us. I pray that we will not let it take away from us our smiles. So in the Bible, you realize that smiling equates to blessing. When the blessing of the Lord was pronounced, It was done so in the hope that God would look favorably upon his people, that he would turn to his people with an expression of kindness and warmth and compassion, that he would smile on them. There are several references to this truth. Indeed, the most prominent and familiar one is called the Aaronic blessing, right? In Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 24. No doubt these words are familiar to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The New Living Translation puts chapter 6 and verse 25 plainly, where it says, "May the Lord smile on you." If you are saved this morning, beloved, it is because you are blessed, because God has smiled on you. In fact, Psalm 80 in verse 3 reminds us that the smile of God is the source of our salvation. I think that's good news, beloved. I think that that's good news. In the midst of COVID-19, it is good to know that God does not wear a mask, but that he remains smiling upon his people. God is still smiling on us this morning. And that's what Psalm 20 reminds us. That's what Psalm 20 reminds us. It is a prayer. It is the prayer or the plea for the people of God, for God to smile on the king. They want God to bless. They want God to save. They want God to smile on the king. And Psalm 20, in this sense, is a blessing that is similar to that that's found in Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing. And in this sense, it is not the priest, however. As in Numbers chapter 6, it is not the priest in Psalm 20 who is pronouncing a blessing upon the people, but rather it is here in Psalm 20, the people are pronouncing a blessing upon the king. And in this sense, it is a royal psalm. It is a royal psalm. David as king was representative of the nation. And as the king goes, so goes the nation. For they understood that the king was the chief warrior. The king was the commander. The king was the one who led them in battle. The king was the victor. The king was their champion. And when the people of God were speaking safety and security upon the king, they were speaking safety and security upon the nation. For them, the two were one in the same. And so in verse 9 of chapter 20, of Psalm 20, when they say, "God save the king," what they're really saying is, "God save the nation." Beloved, you realize this morning, right, that Jesus is our king. Jesus is our captain. Jesus is our warrior. He is our commander and chief. He is our champion. Jesus is our victor. And as the blessings of Israel came through David to the nation, so now the blessings of the church come through Jesus Christ to us. All the blessings we seek, like this psalm teaches us, is for the sake of Jesus. It's for the sake of Jesus. And the nation prayed for the sake of the king. And when they prayed for the sake of the king, beloved, they were really praying for themselves. Save the king. Save us, Lord. Save our captain. Save us, Lord. And so they prayed. They prayed for protection and help. They prayed for provision and hope. They prayed for protection and help. The plea and the prayer that is offered up in Psalm 20 is first for protection in times of trouble, right? Praying that the Lord would answer his people in the time of their trouble. If there is one thing God's people can be assured of in this world, beloved, it is that there will be times of trouble and trial. Troubling times are guaranteed. And I don't want you to mishear me this morning, and I don't want you to be misled, and I don't want you to misunderstand. So let me be clear. Okay? Let me be clear. Trouble is a sure thing in this life. Job chapter 14, verse 1, reminds us that trouble is just part of life. Reminds us that men and women born of woman are of few days, and they are full of trouble. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, and speaking to his disciples, he promised us that in this world we would have trouble. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter, in speaking to the Christians, to his beloved church gathered, dispersed, he tells them that troubles and trials are not strange. These are not strange things. This is part and parcel for the course. There's trouble. There's trouble in being married. There's trouble in being single. This is not strange. There's challenges at school. There's going to be challenges at work. There's trials in being a father. There are trials in being a mother. This is Mother's Day, and yet, if we're honest, mothers would tell us that being a mother is not always peaches and cream. Trouble in our homes, trouble in our society. Beloved, you do realize that COVID-19 is not the first pandemic. And if the Lord tarries, dare I say, that it probably won't be the last. The bad news is that trouble is guaranteed. The good news is that so is heaven's help. So is heaven's help. In your day of trouble, may the Lord send you help. Send you help when you need it. Send you help from where you need it. May he answer you and send protection and help according to your need. Because this is what real help is, beloved. This is what real help is. Real help is appropriate help. And no one is more appropriate than God. He's an appropriate God. That sounds like a song. Somebody ought to write that. He's an appropriate God. Yes, he is. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. You can replace it to say a very appropriate help in times of trouble. When God comes, he shows up with what you need appropriately, appropriately. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 is a marvelous verse to just meditate upon. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous and victorious right hand. Think about that, beloved. There is trouble all around you. There is anxiety. There is fear. And God says, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you. No, even more than that, I will help you. The Lord knows what you need. He knows when you really need it. He knows what you need. He knows when you really need it. And when he comes, he brings the appropriate help. You know, God doesn't go to the hospital to go down a COVID-19 area and say, hey, did anybody call a mechanic? No, beloved. No, beloved. When you're stuck on the side of the road because your car broke down, God doesn't send a physician. When God shows up, it's an appropriate help. It's a very present help. When you need a friend, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, now there is a friend who sits closer than any brother. And even this morning, the Bible says in Psalms 27 and verse 10, that even if your mother or your father forsake you, the Lord himself will come and take you up. Because the Lord doesn't forget those who are his own. When it seems like everything and everyone else is walking out, the Lord is the one who walks in. And he doesn't forget his own. Is that what it says? May he remember all of your offerings. Verse 3. And regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. The Lord knows those who are his own. Beloved, you don't have to. That's one thing you don't have to worry about. You don't ever have to worry about the Lord forgetting. The Lord remembers his people. You know, when a thief on the cross was dying and he looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, and he prayed, Lord, remember me. Oh, beloved, ain't no worries there. You don't ever have to worry about that. You don't ever have to worry about the Lord forgetting those who are his own. There are none left behind. He remembers your worship. He remembers every time you lift up your hands in praise. He knows. And he remembers your worship. He witnessed your service. He sees your offerings. He has heard your praise. And therefore, since he has heard your praise, since he has witnessed your worship, since he has observed your offerings, when you cry out to him in the time of trouble, that is a familiar voice. He knows who you are. That's my child calling my name. And he remembers. He hears you. There's a lot of people in this world today, because of our current circumstances, praying. A whole lot of folks don't stop praying. Beloved, I want to let you know something this morning. The Lord hears those who are his own. He hears those voices that are familiar voices to him. And that's why it's important this morning that you don't wait for time to get hard to start worshiping God. No, beloved. Those who worship him in the light, he promises to hear their cries at night. Worship the Lord now. Don't wait. Now is the time. Today is the day. Isaiah 55 and 6 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Don't wait. Call upon the Lord. Worship the Lord. Sacrifice and give to the Lord while it is light. He promises that he will remember you in the night. Now is the time. And so they pray, Lord, may the Lord remember all of your offerings. May he regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. That's what the Lord does when he remembers. Then comes not just his protection, but the Lord then grants his provision and his hope. Beloved, the Lord's protection and the Lord's help is the provision of victory. That's the idea here, right? May the Lord hear you, King David, in your time of trouble. May he send protection, may he send help, and may that help and that protection provide you victory in the battle. And give the whole nation hope. That's the provision. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. The nation prayed that the Lord would grant the king the desires of the king's heart and fulfill the king's plan. What was the king's desire, beloved? What was the king's plans? His desire was for the salvation of the nation. His plan was for victory over the enemy. Now understand that, because there you would, if you understand that, then you'll know that these are not selfish desires. These are not selfish desires per se. These are not just personal plans, but they are desires and plans for the glory of God and the good of the nation. Beloved, I pray. You read that, and I pray. My prayer for you is that the Lord would give you the desires of your heart that would bring him glory. I pray that the Lord would fulfill all of your plans that bring him praise. I pray this morning. You can ask the Lord for whatever you want. Ask the Lord for whatever you want this morning. But let me remind you of the words of Jesus, our captain, this morning, who in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed. Matthew 26 and 39. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. May his will be your wants. That's what it means, beloved. For the Lord to fulfill the desires of your heart. May you want his will, and may his will be your wants. When his will is your wants, it's a win. That's a win. That's a win. When God's will is your wants, that's a win. And you know what? God likes to win. God likes to win. And you see that, right? You see that in verse 5 because God likes to hang banners. He likes to hang banners. You know, next time you walk into a school, you need to go to the gymnasium. And you walk into the gymnasium, you need to look up for a moment into the ceiling and upon the walls. And perhaps you will see there banners. Banners there hanging clearly and proudly. Why? Because banners mean battles. Banners mean battles fought. Banners mean victories won. And God is a God of victory. The Bible tells us that he leads his people in triumph. He's a God who hangs banners. In fact, in Exodus chapter 17, and verse 15, the Bible reminds us that Jesus himself is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. Beloved, do you know that when Christ was raised from the grave, the Bible says that he proclaimed victory, that he still proclaims victory on all those and for those who are in him. Victoriously, he was raised for all the world to see as a banner of God's glory, of God's promises, of God's power. And in Christ, beloved, this morning, the Lord our God is still raising banners. If you are in Christ, then God has raised you up this morning as a banner, as a trophy of his grace, as a trophy of his mercy, as trophies of his power, and as trophies of his glory. If you are in Christ this morning, you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ this morning, God is smiling on you. Wherever you are, whatever the circumstances is, however trying and troubling it is, God has smiled on you. And be reminded that you are a banner of his mercy, that you are a trophy of his grace. That's why. In troubling times, times like these that we find ourselves in, the psalmist says in verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, But not us. Mm-mm. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We put our trust in Jesus. You know what troubling times do, beloved? Trying times and troubling times reveal where our trust lies. That's why God sends them. That's why God allows them. So that he can show us what he already knows. Whether or not you and I truly, truly trust in him. And you know what God does? God makes sure that those who truly belong to him don't trust in horses. He makes sure that those who truly know him don't trust in chariots. That's why he brought Moses and the nation of Israel to the Red Sea, with Pharaoh chasing them and the Red Sea before them, to let them know that it's not horses and it's not chariots. That's why he brought Joshua to Jericho, to let Joshua know, Joshua is not horses, it's not chariots. That's why he took Gideon's army down to nothing before he allowed him to fight the Midianites, so that Gideon would know that it's not horses, it's not chariots. That's why he sent David out to fight Goliath, so that the nation would know that it's not horses, that it's not chariots. God makes sure that the odds are not in your favor. He makes sure that the odds are against us. And so, beloved, I don't want to scare you this morning, but I do want you to know that no matter how much money you have, trouble is coming that money can't solve. I don't care how smart you are, trouble is coming that your intellect can't fix. And when the Red Sea gets before you, and Pharaoh's army and his horses and chariots are chasing you, where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide? Beloved, it is at troubling times that we truly find our faith. It is in difficult and distressing times that we really discover in whom or in what we put our trust. Let the world put their trust in horses. Let the world put their trust in chariots. Let us put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let us run to Jesus when there's no one else to turn to. Let us go to the rock and let us in him find our safety and our trust. Oh God, you saved Jesus. Save us. In Jesus' name, amen.